Hey sports fans, this is Jeff Kane, the voice of the Patriots Beat podcast here on CLNS Radio. I've got a question for you. Are you tired of spending a fortune on tickets and feeling like you got ripped off? Well, we have you covered over here at TickIQ.com for all your ticketing needs. TickIQ, T-I-Q-I-Q, is a leading ticket aggregator, providing fans a one-stop shop to browse the best deals from all ticket sites so you don't have to worry about finding the best seats for the game or concert. Get your tickets for the Patriots all season long. TickIQ.com, where you will find the best prices in the market. Use the promo code CLNS for 5% off your IQ certified or TNT tickets listing at TickIQ. That's TickIQ.com.
The quest to defend more than just a championship lives right here. New England Patriots coverage on CLNSradio.com. We want to hear from you, so call in right now. The phone lines are open, 929-477-2386.
And welcome into the CLNS Radio New England Patriots post-game show. I am your host, Patrick Shancor, along with my co-host, Mike Alonji. New England Patriots defeat the New Orleans Saints 26-24 in week two of preseason action. We'll be live talking about this game and taking your calls at 929-477-2386. Again, that number, 929-477-2386. And just like the preseason does, we have a rookie co-host with us in Mike Alonji. Mike, how are you doing tonight?
Good, Pat. How's it going?
I'm hanging in there, and a Patriots victory always makes it a lot better after they did not start off too great against Green Bay. Last week, they came off very sluggish-looking in the beginning of this game against New Orleans. Tom Brady, 2-for-5, 13 yards in his abbreviated action, 3 straight 3-and-outs to start the game. But Jimmy Garoppolo came in 28 of 33 for 269 yards, a touchdown, did throw an interception, but did lead the New England Patriots on the game-winning drive in the fourth quarter to get a field goal from Steven Gostkowski, a 35-yarder with 19 seconds left to end up beating the Saints 26-24. Again, a lot to talk about, a lot of different aspects to get into, but I think the most important thing for Patriot fans here, with the impending suspension of Tom Brady, will it be reduced? Will it be overturned? Will he serve 4 games? It's good to know that Jimmy Garoppolo, through 2 weeks, has looked pretty good. He started off sluggish against Green Bay last week, finished, I believe, 15-17 in the second half in that game. Came in today, kind of struggled in the first quarter as well, but found a rhythm, had a beautiful touchdown pass to Chris Harper where he escaped pressure, got it off on a beautiful throw. Did have the big interception in the fourth, a bad throw, but again, that'll happen. All in all, though, I thought it was a great performance from Garoppolo. It makes me feel confident going into week one, whether it's Tom Brady, whether it's Garoppolo, whoever the starting quarterback is, I feel very confident in both of them. Obviously, we don't have all the pieces here. Edelman's been injured. LaFell's been injured. Tim's injured. Edelman. Gronkowski hasn't played. But from what we've seen so far in this game especially, I thought a very great performance from Jimmy Garoppolo to lead this offense. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, I think on the whole, he looked really good. I mean, obviously, you don't want to see him come out right away and have to call that timeout. That's kind of, you know, just getting your offense lined up and things like that. Those are the little things that you kind of want to see him have a hold on. But I mean, yeah, I thought he did really well. He threw that tough interception. You can't throw the ball when your base isn't underneath you like that. But he did. He led a great drive at the end of the half. He led a great drive at the end of the game. I thought the offensive line really looked kind of shoddy tonight. They're just getting killed at the point of attack. Couldn't set the edge at all. But I think Garoppolo handled it well. Obviously, you saw a little bit of his escapability there when he scrambled out of the pocket and hit that big touchdown pass. But I definitely think you can take away from the game that he's definitely improving. He's definitely getting a better handle on the offense. He's figuring out how to work, operate in those situational moments. And I thought he looked really good.
Yeah, especially when they really didn't have a running game to go off of. You look at their best running back in terms of yardage-wise was Tyler Gaffney with 23 yards. They only averaged 2.3 yards on the ground. And that'll happen when your offensive line isn't fully there. They had the three rookies up the middle in Mason, Andrews, and Jackson, Andrews being the undrafted rookie center. So they had a lot of turnover there in the offensive line. Where, you know, obviously Patriot fans are hoping Brian Stork will be back there healthy to go week one. You know, all those pieces moving. But the big key, I think, in this game was very typical of the Patriots. They came out very slow. They got behind early, but they didn't go crazy. They didn't start trying to force things. They sat back and they did their thing. Defensively, I thought after Drew Brees and the starters came out of the game, I thought you saw the New England Patriots defense of old. Gave up a lot of yards, gave up some plays, but settled down in the red zone, only allowed field goals, and caused turnovers when they needed it. You saw that big turnover, the forced fumble on Morris, or the linebacker Morris, with Swanson got beaten the coverage. Morris came up to strip the ball. A lot of great plays on the defensive side of the ball. Obviously, the starters that started the game had a couple mistakes. Everyone knows my love for Devin McCourty. He had a couple bad plays covering Brandon Cooks, but also a great pass breakup in the end zone. So all is forgiven in my love for him. But again, I mean, it's the second preseason game. We haven't seen all the starters play into their true form. You know, going back on McCourty, the usual center field safety, if you will, he's playing cornerback. We haven't seen all the guys in there. We've seen, you know, Mayo's been out, Hightower's been out on the defensive side. You know, I just mentioned Edelman, Gronkowski, those guys on offense. So we haven't seen the full team form. I thought this was a much better performance than it was a week ago against Green Bay. I thought they came together. We saw some great plays individually. Deion Lewis had a great touchdown run in the third quarter with some power moves. I talked about the Garoppolo touchdown to Harper. So, you know, some good moments and some bad moments. But I think Patriot fans, the biggest thing they need to take into account here is, again, it's the second preseason game. We've seen so many preseasons time and time before where players looked like they were Hall of Famers and other players looked like they were going to be cut. And it really has no meaning going into the regular season. So a good performance, I thought, by the team to rally when they were down early in the first quarter to come back and win that game. And again, the biggest part, in my opinion, Jimmy Garoppolo handling himself very well. And, you know, we can talk about the suspension with Tom Brady or not. You know, obviously we're not going to talk about it tonight. But I'm confident, if you will. I think that Garoppolo has a handle on this offense. And the thing that I get really frustrated with, and I'm not going to rant on it too much, is people say Garoppolo, they say, you know, can he lead the offense? Can he help this team if Brady is out? I feel like people weren't paying attention to last preseason, to the regular season last year, that Kansas City game, which I know people don't take too much solace into. But, I mean, he went 9-for-10 in that game against Kansas City with a beautiful touchdown pass to Rob Gronkowski. He never really had, I thought, a bad game in garbage time or a bad moment. He's played two pretty good preseason games this year on top of a good preseason last year. I don't see why people are so concerned if Tom Brady misses a game or two. I think if Brady's out, this team will be just fine with Garoppolo. Mike, what do you think? Where's your confidence level with Garoppolo if he is the starter come week one? Mike, you there?
But I think, yeah.
I'm sorry. Yes,
I definitely think that he can win games. I mean, we have some, as long as we get everything working well, you know, offensive line can stay solid in front of if the backs can when they can get you.
I'm not sure if everyone else can hear Mike. I can't hear him at the moment, so we're gonna take a break from him. But you know, just going back to the whole Garoppolo situation, I think one of the big things to take into account is he put on this performance tonight, 28-33 for 270 yards and a touchdown. And the guys he threw the ball to, Chris Harper, Brandon Gibson, Deion Lewis, you know, Asante Cleveland, who just got traded for, you know, not a cast of characters who an NFL team will be throwing to. You know, Harper's a guy might make the roster, probably most likely on the practice squad. Brandon Gibson's a guy, you know, he's always been kind of a two or a three or even a four in Miami, plagued by injuries. So maybe he gets a chance in here, but really haven't had a guy, a true starter, if you will. No Edelman, no Gronkowski, no LaFell. Those are the guys that Brady loves to throw to. We haven't seen any of them yet with Garoppolo. But again, like I said, two games in, I'm very confident. And I got tortured, and everyone knows that I have a very, very love-hate relationship with Tom Brady, mainly on the hate side. But Tom Brady, at the end of the day, he got the job done. He does make players look better. I think that after learning under Brady for a year and a half now, two training camps fully under Brady, Garoppolo has a sense of this offense. He looks mature in the backfield. He looks like he knows where his reads are going to be. He looks like he's very confident throwing a ball into a route and knowing his receiver will be there. Very Tom Brady-esque. And the one thing I like about Garoppolo that I haven't been too big on with Brady is that, A, Garoppolo has an escape ability. He can tuck the ball and run before it if he needs to. I was very big on that with Brady over the last, you know, give or take 7-8 years, where Brady's very his tendency lies to tuck and – or not to tuck and run, but to throw rather than tuck and run. Garoppolo, like I said, he has that ability to be able to take and run with it. Now, you know, not to mention, I am big on Brady with turnovers and forcing throws. So Garoppolo in that fourth quarter interception tried to force it, didn't have his base under him, bad throw. But that's going to happen with a guy who doesn't get first-team reps consistently. It's a learning it's a learning curve, I should say. And I think Josh McDaniels getting those weapons back, having McDaniels, having them all come into form, I have no problems with Garoppolo starting the game week one against Pittsburgh. I'm going to try and bring back our co-host Mike here and see if his connection is stabling up here. Mike, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right, we'll try it again here, Mike. And let me ask you, you know, we're talking about Garoppolo now. How confident are you if he's the starting quarterback come week one? Still having trouble hearing Mike. And, you know, that's one of the things here with the preseason show. We're getting all the kinks out of the way, you know, figuring all that stuff out for the regular season. But moving on here, I want to talk about something specifically I wrote down here is the Patriots secondary. And it's very up for grabs here. Obviously, after losing, you know, all pros and Darrell Revis, Brandon Browner, and cutting guys like Kyle Arrington and Alphonso Dennard, you have a lot of turnover there. Malcolm Butler, through 2 weeks in the preseason, has gotten the star treatment. He comes off the field with the starters. He only plays those first couple series, and he's looked good. He had a bad day in practice on Wednesday against Drew Brees, comes back, has a great Thursday, didn't give up any big plays to my eye in those first couple series with Drew Brees on the field. You know, opposite him, we saw Devin McCourty tonight. Everyone knows that I'm a big fan of McCourty and that I like to see him at cornerback. However, when you have a guy playing one position for 2-3 consecutive seasons, and then you just throw him in a regular action game at cornerback, you're obviously going to see some good and bad. The good, he had a great pass breakup in the end zone after being beat on the route, recovered, great closing speed, gets his hand on the ball, knocks it out. That's part of the good. Part of the bad, got beat on an in-and-out route by Brandon Cooks, a great young receiver who I drafted in my fantasy football draft today, who I'm hoping continues to put up numbers like he did last season. He gets beat there. My biggest question is, who's going to be that number two guy? Coming into this training camp, we all thought it was going to be Logan Ryan, the cornerback out of Rutgers. He had a great rookie campaign in 2013, took a step back last year, and really hasn't solidified himself as an NFL number two cornerback. We've seen Terrell Brown, who I've heard has had a great camp, didn't play last week, came in tonight, didn't do anything tonight, so he's an option. You have guys like Fletcher, guys like McLean, guys like Jordan Richards. A lot of guys here who are vying to be that number two, number three cornerback. My biggest thing is, and I'm one of the biggest Trust in Belichick guys there is out there, But my question is, you let go of four cornerbacks, all who potentially could have been starters outside of Dennard, who, I mean, he started in a couple years ago, but injuries and shoddy performances really knocked him down the depth chart. You get rid of those four guys. I understand that if you saw Malcolm Butler being a starting cornerback coming into this season, so far you're looking good. But you need to make sure you have a number two there ready to go. You play a lot of great quarterbacks this year going into the season. I mean, Big Ben Roethlisberger, Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning, guys of that caliber. You're going to be facing them, and you need to be able to produce and stop those quarterbacks from throwing for 300-400 yards against you. And I'm really hoping this isn't the Patriots defense of old in 2011, 2012, where we just sit back, let the quarterbacks tear us apart, and hopefully in the red zone we make some stops. Now, it's obviously not like that. We've seen a great front seven so far through 2 weeks. Chandler Jones has looked good. Malcolm Brown, the rookie, has had some great plays. Jabal Sheard, the pass rusher out of Cleveland, has come in and had a great first couple games. I like the front seven, but I'm not confident enough in the front seven to say, you know what, I feel like we're going to get pressure on the quarterback in X amount of time, so we don't need to have the best secondary in the world. I would like to see at least somebody in the next 2 weeks step up and say, I can handle that right cornerback position opposite of Malcolm Butler. And that's giving a lot of credit to Malcolm Butler. Again, an undrafted rookie from last year. I know he gets thrust into the spotlight making that interception in the Super Bowl, but we're putting a lot of confidence into an undrafted rookie free agent. Not to say he doesn't deserve it, but he's earned the trust right now. The question is, who's going to step up and be that number two? Logan Ryan, maybe. Terrell Brown, we'll see. Bradley Fletcher, who knows? But those are just a couple of the guys. Again, next week is really the big game against Cleveland, or against Carolina, rather, that we'll have to wait and see who's going to be number two starting opposite Malcolm Butler and how do they perform. Number to call in tonight, guys, 929-477-2386. Again, 929-477-2386. We have Drew Kennedy manning our social media accounts. So if you want to get involved on social media, tweet us at CLNS Radio, also at Patriots Beat. Both those Twitter accounts, you can tweet your questions, tweet your comments to Drew. He'll get them out there on Twitter and pass them along here to me and hopefully Mike when he gets back into the studio. Something I wanted to touch on here and looking at the numbers, I had some questions going into my fantasy football draft. If I wanted to take a running back from the New England Patriots, you have options in LeGarrette Blount, Jonas Gray, James White, Dion Lewis, Tyler Gaffney, all these guys. Now, my question was, is LeGarrette Blount worth a pick? Is he going to be able to produce numbers? And they showed the numbers early in the game, his five games in New England. He had a bad game this week, I'm not going to lie, 13 carries for 15 yards. I know that he's a type of running back that he can turn something into nothing. However, when you lose guys like Steven Ridley and Shane Vereen, two quality running backs, in my opinion, you need to have replacements. Third down back for Shane Vereen, that's the biggest question. You have Dion Lewis and James White, in my opinion, are the two guys vying for that spot. Both of them had touchdowns today. Both of them had great plays today. So that question's still up in the air. LeGarrette Blount, Jonas Gray, where's that going to end up? I know that Blunt's the favorite, but Belichick is very quick to turn on running backs week to week. We saw Jonas Gray, the big example, 200 yards versus Indianapolis, benched the next week. And especially with LeGarrette Blount being suspended that first game, you know, let's say Jonas Gray goes out and rushes for 200 yards against Pittsburgh, who then becomes a starter for week two? It's very questionable, and I haven't seen any of the running backs really step out to me and say, wow, this guy is the clear-cut starter going into week one. Now, I know I don't believe Blount played in week one. He didn't play in week one with the MCL injury. He had a kind of a bad game today. So that's another question that I have. Who's going to be the running back to really take a hold of this offense? That's also going to be a question when it comes to who the quarterback is. And a lot of this is going to be speculation. A lot of this is not going to be concrete because we don't know who the quarterback's going to be week one. You know, we keep hearing that until we know further evidence that Jimmy Garoppolo will be the number one quarterback. But if that's the case, then why is Tom Brady coming out and starting these preseason games? If the New England Patriots firmly and truly believe that Jimmy Garoppolo will be the starting quarterback for the first 4 weeks of the season, then why is Tom Brady starting preseason games when he's not going to play until week six? Obviously, the bye week is there in week five. That's my question. And so at this point, we don't know who our starting quarterback is. We don't know who our starting running back is. Those are two big question marks to have on August 22nd when the opening kickoff game is 2.5 weeks away. I'd like to know these things. I'd like to have the answers to these questions. We haven't seen the starting offense in its entirety yet, and we haven't even seen many of the pieces. We've seen two minimum offensive linemen that have not played yet. We've seen three starting receivers. The top three receivers have not played yet. And the starting running back had 15 yards on 13 carries. The starting quarterback is 2 for 8 for 13 yards in two preseason games. You know, this is concerning to me. Obviously not to a level where I'm going to, you know, hit the panic button and say what's happening here. But I am concerned to an extent that this is not going to the plan that Bill Belichick thought it was going to be going to. You know, those are some questions I have. Again, you're listening to the CLNS Radio New England Patriots post-game show. Waiting for Mike Alonji to get back here, having some technical difficulties. I am Patrick Shancor. Call number 929-477-2386. Again, that number, 929-477-2386. Social media, you can find us at CLNS Radio and at Patriots Beat on Twitter. Drew Kennedy manning our social media accounts. If you want to get in touch with us on social media or you have any questions or comments, anything of that nature, tweet us there, and Drew will be more than happy to pass them along to me in the studio as well as to get them out there on Twitter. You know, going back on this game, I wanted to mention specifically two drives that I thought were very big drives in this game. The first one came right in the third quarter. It was capped off by the Deion Lewis touchdown run. But the Patriots start that drive, they're down 21-7, and Garoppolo leads them on an 11-play, 55-yard drive. And you look at the scoring drives after that one drive, they had the one with Deion Lewis that I just mentioned, 11 plays, 55 yards. Their next touchdown drive, capped off by the Gaffney 3-yard touchdown run, 11 plays, 78 yards. A Gostkowski field goal with 3:21 was capped off on a 12-play, 57-yard drive. So very long, very sustaining drives here by Jimmy Garoppolo, and the guy of the night so far offensively that we saw was Chris Harper. 5 catches, 69 yards, and a nice 24-yard touchdown pass that we mentioned with Garoppolo getting out of the pocket, avoiding a sack, and throwing a beautiful pass into the end zone for Harper. It seemed to me, and you know, as I'm watching some of the replays on behind me, a lot of these plays Garoppolo had the confidence in his receivers to be where they're supposed to be. We see a lot of these passes here tonight from Garoppolo where the receiver hasn't even formed his complete route and the ball's already there for the receiver. Signs that a quarterback trusts that his receiver will be there at the right time. The timing's there. The throws are there. Very, very great game from Garoppolo. And again, we talk about the one interception that, and it was a bad throw. It was a big mistake. But when you go 28 of 33 for 269 yards and a touchdown, you can't really complain about that. These are numbers, I want to say, of Tom Brady of 2001. You know, short intermittent completions down the field, methodically driving, not making the big play, not making the big risk, just getting the ball down the field. I would even say these numbers are elevated from the 2001 Tom Brady numbers we saw. Again, Garoppolo's job, and however long he plays, if he does, is not to go out there and throw for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns and you know, blow out these teams. His job's going to be to move the ball. Don't turn it over. Trust your running game and let the defense bail you out. Now, obviously, with that being said, is your defense this year comparable to your defense of those years? Probably not. But your team just won a Super Bowl, and you have some veterans on that roster, both offensively and defensively, that can get the job done. So for Garoppolo, 2 good weeks to build on. And my question is going to be going into next week, who's going to be your starting quarterback in that game? Because we know the starters are going to play well into the third quarter. And if we don't have a resolution on Brady's suspension by next week, I really don't see the need for him to play in that game. I think that Tom Brady is a guy where even if he is the starter week one, he doesn't really need to play in the preseason to get ready. He has the timing down in practice. He has the relationship and the chemistry with this offense where he can step out for 4 weeks, come back, and feel like he never left. So I would love to see Garoppolo start next week and try and build on this game from tonight. And also, I want to see him start a game. We have not seen Jimmy Garoppolo start a game yet, and I'd like to see him go out with the first string with the offense against a first caliber string defense and see what we have, because you invest a second round pick into this guy. And I want to know if he's going to be the guy who will get the job done week one. Now, I think we have Mike back here with us. I'm going to try him again. Mike, can you hear me now?
Yes, I'm right here, Pat.
All right. We got Mike Alonji back on the post-game show. I've touched on a number of different topics here, Mike, so I'm going to pass it along to you. You know, Garoppolo confidence level, that we talked about that before you left. The number two cornerback position outside Malcolm Butler. A lot of different things to talk about. You know, what are your overall thoughts on the game tonight in terms of the questions of Garoppolo and the questions of your second cornerback outside of Malcolm Butler?
Well, just start off with the cornerback spot. If Devin McCourty's taken this and he's taken reps in the game at, I mean, pretty safe to assume that you're going to see him moving around between safety and corner this year. So I think that could definitely be interesting. Outside of that, I didn't see any that impressed me, really. Logan Ryan looked rough again out there, let up a big play. I just don't think he has his confidence there right now. You saw the pass interference on Robert McClain. I'm not sure how much time he's going to get to play anyway. I think the number two corner spot's definitely a question mark. That's the number one reason why McCourty has taken these snaps at corner, and why I think the main idea behind that is they think he can match up with the bigger wide receivers in the league and things like that. But I think that's definitely a question mark. I think you're definitely going to have to keep your eye on that cornerback position going forward. As Garoppolo goes, I have plenty of confidence in Garoppolo. I mean, I think he has plenty of confidence. I think he looked solid going on his dropbacks tonight. You'd see him drop back, 1, 2, 3, step, hitch, go. And that's really what you want to see from him. The ball's out, like you said, before receivers are pushing their routes. And I think that's the kind of game you want to see. You want to see him going where the ball, confident where the ball is going to go, and hitting his receivers inside where they can make plays with it. And I agree with you. I think he should probably start next week. I think you know, it's not like Brady doesn't have the time and things like that. It's the start. And I think you go a lot to get in there with the, now I don't know if guys like Gronk and Edelman are going to play it, but it would, if I think it would be good for Garoppolo to get out there with them and get a decent number of snaps with them, see how the is and like that. But definitely think he should start next week. I think you got to ride it. You got to see what, because as of right now, Brady's suspended for 4 games. That's the fact of the matter. So you got to start with Garoppolo, and I think is really the.
And I really hope that Jeff Kane isn't listening right now, because I know he gets really frustrated when I get off topic and don't talk about the game. But when it comes to Tom Brady, I feel like the Patriots as an organization, Robert Kraft, Bill Belichick, and all of the fans, they. You know, we hear the Patriot way, and I feel like Tom Brady gets treated better than the Patriot way. And I say that meaning, if we're going back, and let's just say we have, you know, Mike Adams, some random guy playing quarterback for the Patriots, and he gets suspended for 4 games, then we know surefire Bill Belichick is not going to allow that guy to be starting these preseason games. It'd go to Jimmy Garoppolo. But because it's Tom Brady, because he's won 4 Super Bowls, because, you know, he's the golden boy here in New England, he gets the treatment. And not to say he hasn't earned it, because he's won 4 Super Bowls. He's been the MVP 2 times, three Super Bowl MVPs. He's done more than enough to handle it. But at the same time, Bill Belichick's praised for not letting any player be above the team, and it's all about the name on the front rather than the name in the back. If that's the case, and that's what we're talking about here, Tom Brady should not have started these first 2 games. He should not start next week, and he should not start week 4 unless we hear otherwise from the NFL that Tom Brady's suspension is not going to be handled from week 1. If Brady's going to be on the field week 1, I have no problem having him start these preseason games. But if his suspension is upheld or even reduced and he won't be there week 1, Garoppolo needs to be out there. He's the guy who's going to be manning the offense as of right now come the Pittsburgh game on September 10th. So there's no need to have Brady out there. The only thing you're doing is risking injury to him while there's 3 rookie offensive linemen with your starters out. You're risking further injury to him in games he won't even play in. For what reason? To get your laughs and giggles that, oh, you know, we got a Hall of Fame quarterback. I don't understand why he's out there when he's not playing at this point. Unless Belichick has, you know, some secret word out to the commissioner that says that it'll be reduced, there's no reason for him to be out there starting, especially starting when it comes to these preseason games so far.
No, I definitely agree with you. I mean, there really isn't any reason for him to be out there. Like I said before, it's not like he doesn't have his timing down with the number one wide receivers and the running backs and things like that. I think especially, and I thought about that during the game. I'm glad you brought it up. That, I mean, you got three rookies in the middle, three unproven guys in the middle, and they're Tom Brady's dropping back behind him. I mean, you just don't want that. So, I think you definitely need to give Garoppolo as many snaps as you can. I mean, even regardless of whether how many games Brady's going to play this year or not, I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo theoretically is your future. So as many snaps as you can get him in live, real-time action now, the better it'll be in the long run if you plan on sticking with him for the long run. So I definitely agree with you on that. I think and even, you know, Brady coming out, he only threw five passes. He only completed two of them for 13 yards. What are you really getting accomplished except, you said, putting him in the line of fire? So I definitely agree with you. I definitely think that Garoppolo's got to play as much as he can.
Exactly. You know, scrolling Twitter while you were talking, you know, we mentioned Devin McCourty. He came out and said that he hopes the move to cornerback isn't permanent. I was all for a move of McCourty to cornerback in the offseason after Revis and Browner left. In my opinion, I thought if you had Butler and McCourty there, McCourty kind of gives a veteran presence to Butler and can kind of teach him some of the things that made him successful his rookie year. I was all for it, but I feel like Daron Harmon is not ready yet to be a starting safety in the NFL. He got burned tonight on a touchdown pass in the first quarter by Drew Brees to, I believe it was Brandon Cooks, a 45-yarder. Right down the middle of the field, Harmon, you know, just blew right by him. The thing with McCourty is, although when McCourty's back there, you're kind of playing 11 on 10 because he just, you know, takes the very back end of the defense, you don't see those big plays on the Patriots secondary when McCourty's back there. And sometimes I'm frustrated by it, but at other times I'd rather play 11 on 10 and make sure you don't give up the big play rather than play 11 on 11 and have that risk of the bomb always being there. With that being said, I think that we'll have to see next week what the plan of attack is going to be. I think Terrell Brown is going to be the number two. He's just been injured. You know, we've heard he's had a great camp. We've heard he's made some plays and that the coaches love him. So if that's the case, I'd like to see a Brown and Butler 1-2 with McCourty and Chung as your starting safeties, which we saw your starting safeties combo last year. So that's my biggest question when it comes to the secondary is who that number two is going to be, because I don't think McCourty can do it, not because of his skill set, but because I don't trust Harmon back there playing the McCourty role, just because I don't think he has enough experience and enough talent at this point in his career to handle what McCourty does on a week-in, week-out basis.
Yeah, I think Daron Harmon, he's in my opinion, I put him and Logan Ryan in kind of the same class. They're guys who will show you flashes and who you think, oh, this guy can really, he can start for you. He can be a guy who can make some impact plays for you, and then all of a sudden he gives up a big play like that. So I think he definitely has a lot to learn. I think I mean, I know you love McCourty and everything. I'm not so sure that the move to corner would be in the best interest of the secondary, just for that very reason that you mentioned. I mean, you're not throwing the ball over the top with McCourty back there. So I definitely think you're going to have to maybe get split time between McCourty and Harmon, get Harmon as many reps as you can, kind of the same situation as Garoppolo, kind of just get him as many live game reps as you can, and maybe he turns something around. But as of right now, I'm with you. I think Harmon is a bit of a liability back there. But then again, I mean, you saw him make big plays like in the playoffs last year when he picked off Joe Flacco. So I think he's a guy who shows flashes, and same with Logan Ryan. I agree with you. I'd like to see Terrell Brown. We've all heard good things. I'm not sure where he is in regards to his injury, but if you could get him out there at least a little bit next week or in week four, I think that'd definitely be great for at least for the fans to see what they have.
And like I said, with the secondary, you have a talented front seven where it'll definitely help the work in progress of your secondary, and it'll help you know, kind of hide some of the mistakes that, that the cornerbacks and safeties are going to make. I think that when you have a front seven that's stacked with Chandler Jones, Malcolm Brown, Dominique Easley, I'm blanking on his name now, Alan Branch, that they have these guys, and you have, for the first time really since 2 years ago, you have all your safety or all your linebackers healthy. Mayo's coming back healthy. Hightower's going to be healthy, and so will Jamie Collins. Those are three great linebackers to have on top of Jones and Ninkovich on your outside blitzing. I know that people are worried with Will Fork going to Houston that your big run-stopping defensive tackle is gone. But like I said, Alan Branch is there. Silig is there in the middle as well. And I'm really interested to see how Malcolm Brown and Dominique Easley play as these young guys. We saw Brown early in that game tonight on a screen pass, was in the backfield, never gave up on the play, ran down the field, made the tackle. His motor never stops, and it seems like he has a high motor to keep going even when it seems like he's out of the play. So as many question marks are there as there is for the secondary, I think a lot of those question marks will be aided to the fact that the front seven, up to this point from what we've seen in OTAs, training camp, and these two preseason games, the front seven has looked really, really good.
Well, definitely. I mean, that was one of the first things I said off the top of the show, that was something that I was really impressed with. I thought Jabal Sheard played really well tonight. I thought Malcolm Brown played well tonight. I thought that Dominique Easley played really well. I thought it was great to see him move to the inside, play his defensive tackle position, and then move onto the outside around on third down, some third down situational plays. I think it's really good if you can have a guy like that who's, you know, 285, 290 pounds and can kind of move seamlessly between the inside and the outside. I think that's really the kind of guy that you're going to want in addition to a Malcolm Brown who's more of a forward defensive tackle. So I thought that the line played really well. Obviously, we know who our linebackers are. JB Collins is one of my favorite players. I think he's just a great athlete. I think he's going to really kind of make a name for himself this year if he didn't already last year. I think Jerod Mayo, I mean, he's coming off injury. He's had a bit of an injury history the past few years, but I mean, we all know that he's a tackling machine when he's in the game. So I think, and you know, him being the mic'd up linebacker and things like that, as we get close to the regular season, I think that's going to be huge for the middle of the defense. And obviously Hightower stepped into that spot last year. I think that the linebacking core as a whole is going to be probably the most solid part of the defense. And then I would go, if we're ranking them, I would go defensive line after that, and then the secondary. And kind of a point that you made earlier about how you're going to really depend on that front seven. You're definitely right about that. I mean, they're going to be able to throw the ball deep down the field if there's a guy in your face after 2 seconds. Right. So I think definitely the defensive line is going to be a huge point of emphasis, both schematically for Bill Belichick. I think he's going to kind of cook up more blitzes and send more pressure, as opposed to last year where it was more of a kind of a man coverage and just rush four like he usually does. So I think defensive line is definitely a spot where we're going to have to look for some big production out of the young guys.
And as we talk about the defensive line and Malcolm Brown, we have a question here from @CaseyBake16. He wants to know how Malcolm Brown played tonight and if we think he can fill the big void Vince Wilfork left. And I think that it's a lot to ask of him to come in as a rookie, coming off two ACL injuries in college, to fill in for a Hall of Fame defensive tackle. The good thing for the New England Patriots is that it's not going to be all on Malcolm Brown. They have Brown, they have Easley, they have Jabal Sheard, they have Alan Branch, they have Steven Silga. They have all these guys that can play this middle of the defensive line position with the help of Chandler Jones, Rob Ninkovich on the outside, Jamie Collins at times rushing the passer. They have a lot of guys there that can really play the same spot with a lot of help on the outside. Now, Malcolm Brown's going to be a guy where, and I don't know if he's 100% yet with his knees, but if he is, he's only going to get better. And I think that the fact that he has a high motor, he's a guy that doesn't give up on a play, a guy that, although he has a big size, seems to be quick on his feet and very elusive when it comes to avoiding tacklers or avoiding offensive tackles. That's going to be a big thing for the Patriots when it comes to replacing a guy like Wilfork. And although Wilfork is now gone, I thought the run defense as a whole played pretty well. Mark Ingram, the starting running back, only had 18 yards on 6 carries. They held the team 55 yards total in the game. I don't really remember last week. I didn't watch the whole game, but I didn't see any big plays from any of the backups of Green Bay. I believe Eddie Lacy had a big run early in the game. But outside of that, I thought the run defense has looked pretty well the first 2 weeks, and we really haven't seen all of the starters out there for a long period of time. So I thought Malcolm Brown didn't do anything bad tonight. I thought that, you know, he's progressing, you know, with the second football game, NFL game of his career. And I'm not too worried about the run defense. I'm not too worried about the front seven. Most of my concerns and most of my question marks rely in the back end of the defense, back in the secondary.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that. I mean, Malcolm Brown, like I said before, I mean, he showed flashes. Obviously, he's not fully back from his knee injury. I don't think. I think it probably. I mean, when you tear an ACL, it probably takes you a full year to get back to full strength. So, I definitely think he's going to have to rely on the help of his fellow offensive linemen, like an Easley, like an Allen Branch, to kind of come in and come out of games like that. I think that definitely he's got some things to work on. You saw that he's got a great punch initially off the line, but he's not him and Easley both not necessarily so great with once the offensive lineman kind of gets locked in on them, they're not really doing a great job of shaking it off yet. So I mean, that'll come with time, that'll come with reps, obviously. But I think you have to be enthusiastic about what you've seen so far. I mean, you hear the coaches talk about how great he's been in practice and things like that. And I mean, let's get one thing straight. I mean, that's a really big void to fill with Vince Wilfork. You know what I mean? Literally and figuratively. I mean, he was a huge part of this team for a long time. And it wasn't even just so much his size, was his strength and athleticism. I mean, he could get through the line like that, but if a running back pushed it to the outside, you would see Vince chase him down. You know, so I think, you know, those are going to be the kind of things that Malcolm Brown might not be able to do right away, but definitely going to be looking for him to apply those things in the future.
Switching gears to the offensive side of the ball, Mike Reese, you know, just came out and tweeted that Patriots receiver Brandon Gibson, heavy limp in the locker room. And, you know, he said to just pray for the best. That's all you can do. That's a big hit for the Patriots, especially when we've seen Brian Timms potentially, we've heard, go on IR with a foot injury. Aaron Dobson's been injured. Brandon LaFell's been injured. Julian Edelman hasn't played. They are very weak at wide receiver. And if this is a case where Brandon Gibson, and I'm not saying he's going on IR, I'm not saying that his injury is even significant, but from what we're hearing, if Gibson's hurt long-term and Timms is hurt long-term, A, there's concern there because those are two guys, a starter last year in Brian Timms and a starter for Miami last year in Gibson. You lose two starters there potentially, which hurts Dobson as well because he really is on a make a big play or you're gone type of week-by-week basis here. I think, though, at the same time, it does give you kind of a smile in the fact that Chris Harper, who's looked great in his first two preseason games, he's there. So I don't know what to make of Brandon Gibson, if he's going to be hurt long-term or not. But if he is going to be out for an extended period of time, I think that does force the Patriots to look at Chris Harper and say, is this a guy we can carry on our 53-man roster? And do we feel confident enough in putting him out there against NFL first-string defenses? So Mike, what do you think about Chris Harper in terms of him making this 53-man roster with all the injuries that the Patriots have at wide receiver?
Oh, I think he had a spot on the team anyway. I think he's got the quickness. I think he's a decent enough kick and punt returner. I think he showed a bit of his receiving skills tonight even more. Getting, you know, back to Gibson real quick, I saw the tackle. It looked a little sketchy. Right away I was like, ooh, his knee kind of bent a weird way there. So definitely hope for the best for him. But I think that definitely gives Chris Harper a big chance to really make this team. I mean, Gibson and Harper are kind of the same type of player, kind of that depth wide receiver spot at this point. I think Gibson is obviously a more established wide receiver, but I think Chris Harper can make this team. I think, you know, you saw that he's a pretty decent route runner. You won't go too crazy with it, but he's a pretty decent route runner for a rookie. Like I said before, he can return punts. He can return kicks. Maybe you throw him back there instead of putting Edelman in his way, possibly. You know what I mean? If he shows that he can handle that kind of a deal. I definitely think he has a chance to make the roster. Especially if Gibson's going to miss any significant time, and I'm basically banking on Dobson to miss some time. So I think he definitely has a chance to make this team and even get some serious playing time.
And a good point that Bill Bodell from our Patriots B team points out offline here. He says that Josh Boyce did not record a catch in tonight's game, and he was active. So I don't remember seeing him on the field at all tonight at any point in the game. Mike, do you remember seeing Boyce out there?
No, I don't even think he got one snap, to be honest with you. I think they might have had enough of him after last week.
So that becomes an even bigger question now because, I thought Boyce was a long shot to make the roster even coming into tonight, and he doesn't get a single snap. But now, again, on the flip side, you have to look at it and say if Gibson's going to be hurt, if Timms is hurt, Dobson is hobbled, does that kind of, by the force of it, kind of allow Boyce to squeeze in with the roster spot? I mean, he's never been a guy, I had high hopes for him when he got drafted in the fourth round. I thought, he's a quick guy at a TCU. Maybe he can bring some speed to this offense, but he's never really come together in the few years he's been here. And drops will kill you. And he dropped a couple last week, especially in the first quarter with Brady, one that kind of a high throw, but he had his hands on the ball. You got to bring that in. So with Boyce not playing, that might lead again to Chris Harper making this team. And I was a guy who I thought he was going to be maybe a Brian Timms type guy where, he's a great preseason guy. Maybe they keep him on the 53-man roster. Maybe he's a practice squad guy, kind of on that bubble. But after his first two games, he's looked pretty good. He is only 21, so he has a lot of room to grow here. Only stands at 5'11", right around 6 feet. So at the end of the day, you're going to have your Edelmans, you're going to have your LaFells, your Amendolas, your top three guys. Rob Gronkowski will be there. The Patriots don't need any, twos or threes. They need a lot of fives and sixes when it comes to their options on offense. And, that's really what these guys are fighting for, the Aaron Dobsons, the Chris Harpers of the world. Can you come in as a fourth, fifth, sixth option guy and when your number's called upon, make a play? And we've seen that through the years, Brian Timms last year comes in, makes a big touchdown catch against Buffalo. Jonas Gray comes in. When your number is called, can you perform? So far, Chris Harper has done that. Brandon Gibson has done that. So when it comes to these guys, it's really forcing guys like Dobson and Boyce to either be perfect or they're out of a job. And that's why the Patriots succeed, is because they expect perfection from every guy in the roster, whether you're the number one guy or the number 53 guy. If you can't perform when your number is called, you're out of a job, which is why I think guys like Logan Ryan, guys like Aaron Dobson, guys like Josh Boyce will not be on this team come opening week. Now, we don't know with Bill Belichick. Again, there are always surprise cuts. There are always guys that you never thought would make the team, and guys who you thought were sure locks be cut. But through two games so far, I think Chris Harper, like you said, is gaining traction to being a guy who will make this roster. And on the flip side, I think Logan Ryan's on the bubble on the lower end. So I guess I'm kind of making this into our, who's on and who's off when it comes to the Patriots roster segment. So, I'll say Harper on, Logan Ryan off. I'll ask you, Mike, two other guys besides those two. If you had one guy who was kind of on the bubble you see making the team and one guy in the bubble you think not making the team.
Well, I would probably go running back at this point. I think running back is definitely an interesting spot just because you have a few guys who can kind of give you the same type of thing. I think that, James White, Travaris Cadet, guys like that, I think they kind of give you the same dimensions as a running back. They're more of that speed back, kind of an out of the backfield back. I know that a lot of guys are high on Deion Lewis, but then you also have LeGarrette Blount and Jonas Gray. So, I mean, just how many guys are you going to be able to keep on this team? And I think, it's tough to, but I think a guy who might find his way on the side looking in is Cadet, just because I think they have a plan for James White. I think they want to use him as a third down back, as a guy who can come in and kind of chase. And you kind of have your two stalwart because you have LeGarrette Blount, and I think Jonas Gray should get a real chance to prove himself. He looked great in the first game. He looked decent in his couple carries tonight. So I think Travers Cordette definitely might find himself on the outside.
Yeah, I don't think he got a rep tonight. I don't even know if he was dressed, honestly. You know, all of the carries tonight on ESPN went to Gaffney, Blount, Lewis, Garoppolo, and Kraus. So I don't think he even got any reps, similar to Josh Boyce. The running back position is very interesting when you talk about it because, like you mentioned, you have Blount and Gray there as your top two, and James White, who people thought was going to be your third down back, but Deion Lewis is pushing there. That's already four guys, and I can't imagine a fifth guy making the roster in Cadet, especially when he's not playing. I think that's kind of the default off-the-roster guy when it comes to him and Boyce not getting reps. But it's interesting, especially with the lack of depth the Patriots have on offense at every position, really, running back, wide receiver, tight end, with guys not playing, that certain guys aren't getting reps. You would think that, you know, even if you're trying to protect other guys, to put out guys you're not planning on keeping. So I think that really shows the faith they have, or the lack of faith they have in Boyce and Cadet, guys like that. But it's very interesting to see when it comes to the offense, how their scheme's going to play out. Because if Garoppolo's out there the first 4 weeks, you know it's going to be kind of a reined in offense. You know, we're going to go short throws. We're going to go, you know, quick routes. We're not going to do anything crazy. And if that's the case, then you're going to want guys that have chemistry with Garoppolo, guys like James White, who we've seen, you know, get some carries, get some catches in Garoppolo's offense. So when it comes to going into next week, if guys like Boyce, guys like Cadet aren't getting onto the playing field right now, how are they going to get on the playing field next week when you're seeing the starters go 3.5 quarters into a game? And I can't see it happening. And if that's the case, then it seems like we're getting a kind of a general sense of where this roster is going to be at come opening night.
Oh, I definitely agree. I think you saw even tonight. I mean, just because they didn't start the game, I think you saw a lot of guys, like, especially on the defense, guys like Sheard and Brown and Dominique Easley. I mean, they got a lot of reps. So, I mean, I think is that they're kind of on what he really wants the team as a whole to look like. I definitely agree with you. I think that he wants guys who are going to be on the same page as Garoppolo out there. I think that I think that James showed some strong flashes tonight, running the ball and catching the ball. I think that little play where he pushed inside then cut it back in showed some good vision there. So I definitely think that he can make an impact if his number is called. But I mean, Deion Lewis. I mean, run showed great effort. I think running back is going to be one of the more to the wire position type situations that you're going to have coming into the end.
Yeah, I agree. And just to put it out there, Brandon Gibson was asked if his knee was going to be okay, and he said that he thinks it's going to be all right. Doesn't think it's too serious. So to the heart attacks I gave Patriot Nation for 20 minutes, seems like Brandon Gibson will be okay. So I just wanted to throw that out there before we moved on. Something that I'm kind of curious about, and I wanted to kind of put it out there, is, you know, the Patriots brought in Scott Chandler to kind of be the secondary guy to Rob Gronkowski, which I thought was interesting because Scott Chandler is built more like a Rob Gronkowski than he is, and I know I hate to make the comparisons to Aaron Hernandez, who's, you know, sitting in a jail cell right now. But I thought the Patriots, when it came to their tight end, you know, packages and formations, were at their best when they had a guy, a big physical guy who could block and protect in the run game like Gronkowski, and then an elusive, quicker guy that was versatile like a Hernandez. And in my opinion, I thought you were best served in that capacity with Gronkowski and Tim Wright, who came in a trade last year from Tampa Bay. They obviously got rid of Tim Wright and brought in Scott Chandler. We have not seen Chandler yet. But, you know, I'm really interested to see where they go with their second tight end, because I feel like their offense, the way they're built, they're much more equipped to have a guy like Tim Wright than a guy like Scott Chandler, who's more comparable to a Rob Gronkowski type when it comes to his production and his skill set.
Well, I mean, I agree with you there. They also, trading for Asante Cleveland from the 49ers, and from what I've heard out of practices so far, they're pretty high on this kid. I mean, he's 23 years old, 6'5", 260 pounds. So if he can come in and make an impact in that second tight end position, kind of spelling Omao and Nui and everybody else, I think that's definitely an option. I'll be honest with you, I kind of forgot about Scott Chandler. You haven't heard anything out of him in the press or anything like that. So I think there might be Asante Cleveland pushing his way up the depth chart as opposed to Scott Chandler.
Well, I'll always like Asante Cleveland because, you know, by bringing him in, that finally got the end of the Jordan Devey era in New England. And I don't know how he lasted.
Yes, thank God.
I don't know how he lasted a year and a half with the New England Patriots with how awful he was last year. But thank God he's out of there. Another question when you go to tight end, though. They're not going to keep four tight ends on this roster. There's just not enough room with depth issues at other positions. So if it's Gronkowski's obviously a lock, and I feel like Omanawa Nui is also a lock for his, you know, what he's done over his time in New England and his skill sets, which kind of leads you down to Scott Chandler versus Asante Cleveland. And if we're going off of, you know, production in games, we have Cleveland who's played one game, had one catch, and Scott Chandler who has not played in a preseason game yet. It's hard to say. I can't imagine the Patriots would trade for a player just to get rid of him in 2 weeks. So if that's the case, maybe that's the end of the Scott Chandler era before it even gets started, or maybe they IR him. Who knows what they're going to do with him? But I can't see the Patriots keeping four tight ends on this roster. And if that's the case, you know, maybe they keep Cleveland, maybe they keep Chandler, maybe they get rid of both. I think there's one thing that's for sure, is that you're not going to see the Patriots keep extra guys at positions just because there's so many depth issues when it comes to their secondary, when it comes to their receiver with injuries. It's going to be hard for them just to keep four running backs, nonetheless four tight ends. So that's going to be a position battle next week that's really going to be a big part in, since we didn't really see any of Scott Chandler these first 2 weeks, and we only saw Cleveland for a short amount of time tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that like running back, like you just said, I think that's definitely going to be the position battle to watch going into next week and especially week four. Chandler's got to get some playing time if he's going to justify being on this roster. You know what I mean? I have no problem with Scott Chandler being the opposite of Rob Gronkowski. You know what I mean? I think having two huge tight ends like that, I think that would be pretty devastating for our offense. You know what I mean? Against opposing defenses. But I mean, if he's not out on the field, he can't really prove to us that he's worthy of making this roster. So I think you're going to see if he's going to play next week, I think you're going to see him get probably close to half the reps. And I would expect Cleveland to get, you know, almost the entire other half of the reps. I think, you know, the other tight ends that are on the roster obviously probably aren't going to stick around. I think it's mainly a battle between those two guys. I agree. I think Hooman and, I mean, obviously Gronk are locks to be on. I think Hooman just brings a great blocking dimension to the game, and he can catch a pass if you need it. No one will be expecting that. So, I mean, I think it's going to be, like running back, one of the more important position battles to watch in these final 2 weeks. Because, like you said, I mean, if you trade for a guy, you know, and then you cut him 2 weeks later, the only thing you could think of is, oh, it was just an excuse to get rid of Heavy, which I couldn't necessarily check, but he said that he liked Jordan Devey, so that would kind of be face of this. But I think it'll definitely be one of the more battles going into the next week and week.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, you know, we'll have next week in terms of what, you know, the reps are going to be. But, you know, as far as tonight, there really wasn't anything definitive that happened from any of the other tight ends to guarantee them roster spots. You know, looking at some of the questions here, you know, our social media guy, Drew Kennedy, is asking for our Patriots players the game. And I'll go a step further and give you, and you know, we'll both give you our offensive and defensive player of the game. You know, starting on the offensive side, I can't say anyone besides Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, yeah, you know, Chris Harbaugh had a nice game, Brandon Gibson had a nice game, But Jimmy Garoppolo really, you know, from start to finish, had a handle on this game. Looked confident, looked poised, you know, made his reads, made his throws. I was very pleased, again, the one interception, but outside of that, played a very flawless game, in my opinion. And I'm very confident that he can lead this team if called upon week one. On the defensive side of the ball, I thought James Morris, he had a decent game, had a great play on Josh Morgan, stripping the ball after he beat Swanson on a route. I thought Jabal Sheard played very well. There was one in particular play where he kind of beat Andrews Pete, the first-round pick with the Saints. You know, he had an error on his technique. Sheard blew right by him and got a big hit in there. So I think Morris and Sheard had great games. So if I had to go offensive defensive player of the game, it'd be Garoppolo on offense and maybe a combination of Morris and Sheard on the defensive side of the ball.
I would agree with all those picks, to be honest. And I think he really came out trying to prove himself. He could play at he can make a game and play on this team, and I think he did a good job.
Mike, I think I lost you again. I don't know where you got your router, but you have to fix that router. one thing I wanted to say, and I wrote it down here, I totally forgot to mention it, was in terms of Steven Gostkowski, a guy who I think has become probably a top three kicker in this league, and I'm always yearning for him to get those opportunities to kick those long field goals and to get the opportunities to kick them. But he gets a 57-yard chance in a dome and can't bury that. And I know he hit a 60-yarder in the preseason last year. I know he hit a 56-yarder, I believe, last week in the preseason. I like to see him, hit those opportunities, because there are times when the Patriots go for it on fourth down when it comes to they're only around the 35, 36-yard line. They'll go for it instead of kicking a field goal, and it frustrates me. So that was just a tidbit I wanted to mention. With Gostkowski, I want to see him to consistently kick his longer field goals. And if you're not going to hit, I'm not saying hit every single one, but at least hit a couple of them so that, Belichick has the confidence to call upon you in a situation and actually have confidence that you'll get the field goal. So that's something I want to see, going forward. But with Mike dipping in and out, we'll wrap it up here for the Patriots postgame show here on CLNSradio.com. Again, the New England Patriots beat the New Orleans Saints 26-24 to go to 1-1 in their preseason schedule. They will take on the Carolina Panthers next Friday night. I believe it's in New England. That's the game, again, that'll be most of the starters playing into the third quarter, getting the reps. So that'll be next Friday night in Carolina. And I will be back at it doing the Patriots postgame show here for CLNS Radio. Thank you to Mike for joining me. Thank you to Drew Kennedy on social media. Again, we'll be back next week. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Internet Sports Talk Radio, CLNS Radio.